Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Wes Martin.
And I'm Doug Storm. This is the Daily Local News from Monday, August 28th, 2017.
For me, as we move forward, and I'll be extending an invitation to the entire community to join the fight for a healthy community and for the essentials, education, income opportunity, and essentials like healthcare, crisis management, food and shelter.
City Council member Susan Sandberg was among community members appalled by a tweet by Kilroy's Recess on Friday. We'll have more on that story coming up in today's news.
Also coming up in the next half hour, New Lease New Life board member Mary Goetz talks about her organization's work with prisoners and the incarcerated. That's coming up on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, these local headlines.
United Way of Monroe County announced late last week that it will hire longtime public servant Efret Pfefferman to serve as its new CEO. Pfefferman is the Assistant Director of Finance for the City of Bloomington Utilities. She serves on the Board of Directors for the Buskirk-Chumley Theater, the Monroe County Redevelopment Commission, and has also served on the Monroe County Women's Commission and as Vice Chair of the Monroe County Democratic Party.
I am looking to continuing
How do you say that?
What United Way does best and strengthen our position in the community as a convener around the challenges that individuals and families face in this community. I think United Way is best suited to bring people together from all sectors of the community and developing those solutions to problems. And I'm eager to do that with the great team over there.
Pfefferman replaces outgoing United Way of Monroe County Director Barry Lesso, who has been in the position since 2004. Pfefferman says she's ready to head the nonprofit agency and is looking forward to working with their more than 25 partners.
Our community campaign will be kicking off in a few weeks, and so you'll hear a lot more from me as we move forward, and I'll be extending an invitation to the entire community to join the fight for a healthy community and for the essentials, education, income opportunity, and essentials like healthcare, crisis management, food and shelter.
Pfefferman's tenure begins on September 18th.
After a community outcry in the Monroe County Community School Corporation put an end to so-called lunch shaming, Brown County schools are following suit. Lunch shaming, the practice of taking away a student's lunch and replacing it with a cheaper school-approved lunch once they had exceeded their lunch account balance, was discontinued by MCCSC late last month. MCCSC spokesman Andrew Clampett said now all students receive the lunch they picked out, regardless of their lunch account balance.
Now all students receive the same lunch. You know, we're working with parents on different debt levels. When a student's account gets at certain debt levels, we have different communications with them now, dependent upon how far behind the account gets. You know, the principal's notified to see if there's possible assistance needed there. And then we've also got the food assistance fund from our Monroe County Community School Foundation that when those accounts get $10 behind, that fund will, if there is money in that fund will pick up the cost of that student's lunch.
Now, Brown County schools are following MCCSC's lead. Community outcry over lunch shaming reached its peak last month after MCCSC proposed a new food policy for student lunches aimed at curbing a fiscal deficit in that area. MCCSC administrators were forced to repeal the alternative lunch. Clampett says families who run out of lunch money will now be notified by email and phone that their accounts are delinquent.
So starting at $6, families receive a low lunch balance alert, and those are emails and phone calls. Then once it actually reaches zero or goes negative, they get a negative lunch balance message, And then right up until that $10, their account is kind of frozen in terms of the individual child's account. All that means is that they freeze it for a moment. They look over at the food assistance fund to see if there is funds there available to pull from.
Clampett says while the MCCSC district's food program is doing well, there is a deficient balance of $1 million in the corporation's general fund, and that MCCSC relies on donations from the Foundation for Monroe County Community Schools, a nonprofit foundation, to make up for the deficit in the general fund.
The city of Bloomington's Bluecher Pool Wastewater Treatment Plant has a pervasive mold problem. The City of Bloomington Utility Service Board is now seeking an emergency cleanup for the wastewater treatment plant. Utilities Director Vic Kelson described the situation to board members at their meeting last week.
The mold is extensive above the ceiling in the main portion of the building and has come out of several of the ducts and is visible from outside the ductwork.
Wow.
City Attorney Chris Wheeler said an inspection by local firm Fields Environmental determined the mold could be hazardous to the health of the plant workers. Kelson said it's possible the treatment facility's heating and air system may not be successfully dehumidifying the building. The board's declaration of an emergency allows the city to expedite its contracting process for the mold cleanup. Board member Jason Bannock told Kelson he had trouble issuing Fields Environmental a blank check, even though the mold was an immediate hazard to the workers' health.
Yeah, and part of the reason I'm hesitating a lot on this is because I've been involved in some indoor air quality problems that get real expensive real fast. And it doesn't mean it doesn't have to be done. But, I mean, it might be so extensive that we might consider some other alternatives before we get too far down that road.
Board member Amanda Burnham expressed concern for the safety of Bluecher Pool workers during the remediation process when mold can be further circulated in the air. Deputy Director John Langley assured Burnham that precautions will be taken to protect workers' health.
The work that's being proposed by at least two of the contractors is done in a controlled environment, so they would put a negative pressure on the building, on the sections that they're cleaning. The other activities that get it up in the air are carpet removal. There's a little bit of drywall that has to come out, a little bit of wallpaper that has to come out. And then we had some prior roof leaks that create a situation where the mold's not growing now, but the dry mold is there, so we want to take that out.
Agreeing on the need for immediate action, the board chose to limit the contract with Fields Environmental to $50,000 for initial remedial work. Fields Environmental will act as a general contractor, subcontracting out different parts of the water treatment facility's cleanup. Any long-term solutions, such as replacing the heating and air conditioning, would need to be approved by the board and implemented under a separate contract.
Bloomington residents are upset over a tweet issued by Kilroy's Recess. The bar on Kirkwood, which replaced Kilroy's Dunkirk, opened its doors for the first time on Thursday. Near midnight on Friday, the business's Twitter account tweeted at billionaire sports investor Mark Cuban, quote, "Come check out your old place. Spoiler, we got rid of the wet t-shirt contest, but kept the underage girls," unquote. Their website states, "Kilroy's Recess is Bloomington's only 18 and over nightclub." City Council member Susan Sandberg told WFHB that she found the tweet to be offensive and indicative of a larger issue in Bloomington and Indiana University.
I think we need more people to be responsible when it comes to underage drinking and the whole culture of that, because we are a college town. And it's disappointing, let's just put it that way. And I have been in communication with my colleagues on the city council. I've been in communication with the administration to see what, if any, response we need to make to just send the message, this is not okay. It's not okay to treat underage women like that, and it's certainly not okay to encourage the kind of binge drinking that you black out. That's just not acceptable to me.
Followers on Twitter asked Kilroy's Recess if they cared to explain the tweet, which was posted close to midnight on Friday. Eight hours later, Kilroy's Recess responded to inquiries and outrage with, quote, "not really," unquote. Twitter users and Bloomington residents took to social media to voice their concern that the tweet promoted rape culture.
Both Kilroy's Recess and Kilroy's on Kirkwood's reviews on Facebook plummeted before the accounts were locked. As of the time of this broadcast, Kilroy's Recess Twitter account was set to private. Marketing director for Kilroy's Recess, Nicole Freeman, posted an apology on the business's Facebook page stating, quote, "We unequivocally apologize for last night's tweet. We recognized immediately that our joke was made in bad taste and quickly deleted it from our account. We take the safety of our customers very seriously and work extremely hard to provide a conducive environment to do so. We've worked with Culture of Care, our employees, and the authorities to create and maintain a safe and positive environment for our patrons, and we will continue to do so moving forward." Unquote. During last Monday's solar eclipse, Kilroy's on Kirkwood advertised with a sidewalk chalk sign that read, quote, "The sun is blacking out, so should you." Unquote.
You know, this is the kind of behavior that we don't want to encourage in anybody. You know, encouraging underage people to come in and drink until they black out, or encouraging, you know, underage kind of wet t-shirt thing, which in my mind is kind of a sexist comment. So I would just urge everybody who is a corporate citizen in the city of Bloomington to be responsible. And I don't think either of those situations, the tweet or black chalkboard that was advertising come on in and black out with us on the day of the eclipse, that's just not the kind of message we want to send if we're trying to create a publicly safe environment in our downtown.
Facebook users pointed out that although Kilroy's released a public apology, their account still liked posts from followers that stated any criticism of the franchise was an overreaction. Following the Twitter messages from Kilroy's Recess, Function Brewing formally announced via Twitter that they would not sell any of their beverages to the Kilroy's franchise.
I know Middleway House is responding. I know some women's organizations are responding, and I hope IU responds. I know those of us that have been working with the Task Force on Safety and Civility and Justice in our downtown, we don't need this kind of stuff. And I think my praise goes to the Switchyard Brewing for their response.
Kilroy's posts have drawn the ire of the Monroe County chapter of the National Organization for Women, whose Facebook account posited questions to Kilroy's in response to their apology. Quote, "Are you open to dialogue around improving employee training, especially for your social media team, regarding perpetuating rape culture and binge drinking? And is the person responsible for the tweets still on your staff?" Unquote. Indiana University spokespeople did not return WFHB's calls for comments in time for this broadcast. The Kilroy's Restaurant and Bar franchise, which owns three locations in downtown Bloomington and one location in Indianapolis, was also frequented by presumed dead IU student Lauren Spearer, who disappeared after a night at Kilroy Sports in June of 2011. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Doug Storm.
And I'm Wes Martin. The City of Bloomington's Human Rights Commission recently updated their hate crimes report, which tracks what are called bias-motivated crimes or crimes against people due to their race, religion, sex, and sexual orientation. Human Rights Commission Director and City Attorney Barbara McKinney said the report is necessary in order to bring to attention that bias and hate crimes exist in our community.
We regularly issue these reports just to let the community know that we have these hateful incidents in our community. I think a lot of times these things get kind of hidden under the rug, swept under the rug. People don't want to think they happen in our community, which is, I think, overall a welcoming and diverse community. But these things do happen here, and we want people to know we take them seriously. We want people to know that they have a place to come report them if they want and want to make up a report, and we want people to know that when we can, we'll try to get resources to help people address the issue. Sometimes that's impossible, but we try to do that when we can.
So far this year, the Human Rights Commission has documented 7 cases it identifies as bias-driven crimes.
We do only the incidents within the city limits. There is a Monroe County Human Rights Commission. I don't know if they issue any reports for things outside the city. But we, because our jurisdiction is limited to the city, that's the only reports that we... I mean, if somebody calls me to report outside the city, I'll try to make referrals or answer questions or things like that, but I don't include them in our reports.
McKinney said the hate crimes report functions largely as an informational guide for the city and is often used to reassure residents that they specifically haven't been targeted.
again, we just want the community to be aware that these things happen on campus. So that's not the kind of thing, I think I said to the HT, we don't enforce the laws against this, but we try to make sure the community knows these things are happening in our community. So sometimes it's helpful when people receive a flyer like this to realize that other people got a similar flyer. I'm referring to the one in February 2017 where people were getting white nationalist posters. And I've had in the past when those kind of things have been distributed, I've had people find them on their porch and feel like they're being targeted because they have a disability, they're African-American, they're lesbian, and they're actually kind of reassured when they find out that it's been all over the neighborhood that they're not being targeted. So it's just a community awareness thing, really.
McKinney says the document, which includes 7 reported incidents of hate crimes in the city since January 1st, only includes those crimes that are reported. She says working with Bloomington Police Department is important for the Human Rights Commission and encouraged anyone who feels that they may have been victim of a hate crime to call 911.
We want people to know we take them seriously, and I don't just mean the Bloomington Human Rights Commission, I mean Bloomington Police Department. If people feel concerned about their safety, experience any of these things, please call 911. BPD wants to know about these things, and they will take the report and do what they can to investigate and take appropriate action when they can. Sometimes, you know, when it's vandalism on your car, it may be very hard to investigate that, but still we want to know those things are happening, and it is something that our police take very seriously, as does the Human Rights Commission.
McKinney said the commission has not seen an increase or decrease in the number of hate crimes reported.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Support also comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring tales of inspiration from local citizens who stand up for what they believe in and encouraging you to find your cause, live your passion, make a difference, volunteer.
Hi, my name is Mary Getzey, and I volunteer for the organization called New Leaf, New Life. Over the course of my career as a music educator, I became passionate about social justice, and in particular, racial justice in this country. The idea of working with inmates was fueled when I went to the World Choral Games and heard a prison choir several years ago. Then the more I learned about our justice system, the more I was moved to find a way to help individuals who are incarcerated, to give them hope, teach them, and possibly inspire them to make better choices after their release. Volunteering for New Leaf, New Life, a small nonprofit organization, has been perfect for me, and I'm proud to be a board member. This organization provides a variety of services to inmates inside our local jail, as well as helping them adjust to life in the community when they are out. Many of the services they offer are provided by volunteers like me. Having served as a court-appointed special advocate for 8 years, I have a special concern for the children of incarcerated parents. I've tried to help parents stay in touch with their children and, despite their incarceration, to play a positive role in their lives. I took over an existing project called Read to Me. I record the parent reading a book to his or her child, then transfer it to a CD. Then New Leaf, New Life sends the CD along with a copy of the book to the child. In December, a team of us wrapped 100 books and CDs and sent them to children in time for Christmas. We get only positive feedback from that program. I've also been privileged to develop a class inside the jail, a songwriting workshop, in which the group creates lyrics inspired by a song. In some classes, they write their own words to the song, a parody of it, or create raps. When they perform these over accompaniment tracks, I record them. They love hearing their own songs played back. New Leaf, New Life is a wonderful organization, and I hope others will join me and their volunteer force. Helping with clothing is one easy way to contribute. Donated clothing is always available to folks after their release at the Transition Center at 1010 South Walnut. Inmates may be incarcerated wearing flip-flops and shorts when it's warm, then released on a frigid day 6 months later. and often their possessions are lost during their incarceration, so they may need many things. I've gone through my own closets and collected items from friends and shopped at places like Goodwill or Salvation Army to find things for them. I hope anyone listening will consider bringing items to the New Leaf New Life Transition Center on South Walnut. They need blankets, backpacks, sleeping bags, and toiletries, as well as clothes. They really need mentors who can assist them in preparing for job interviews or finding housing or getting the services they need or just being a friend. Upon release, they're so overwhelmed. So just offering to be there for them can make a huge difference at such a vulnerable time. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Mary Getzey.
You may visit the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network website to see a full organization profile at bloomington.in.gov/volunteer. Now here's a rundown of current volunteer opportunities in Bloomington and Monroe County.
For the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake with three featured volunteer opportunities for the week. The Bloomington Hospital Foundation invites you to participate as event support for the 18th annual Hoosiers Outrun Cancer 5K and 1 mile run walk race event on September 30th at IU Memorial Stadium. Individuals and groups are needed to address all areas of event management for this local race of 5,000 plus participants that raises money to support the IU Health Olcott Center. And where can you see great movies and volunteer at the same time? The Indiana University Cinema. As a volunteer usher, you'll get hands-on experience with day-to-day cinema operations. Bring your love of film, your love of people, or both. And finally, all are invited to join in an end-of-season cleanup at the Monroe Lake Shoreline from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. on Sunday, September 10th. Gloves, trash bags, and a boat ride to the remote cleanup areas will be provided. A special thank you cookout for volunteers follows the cleanup. And that's a look at just some of the ways you can connect to your community through volunteering. For WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build an empowered, vibrant, and engaged community. You may visit bloomington.in.gov/volunteer to find and sign up for local volunteer opportunities. All episodes of Activate are available online at wfhb.org/news/activate. For Bloomington Community Radio, I'm Jennifer Brooks.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Alex Davis, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Michael Glab. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Doug Storm.
And I'm Wes Martin. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@WFHB.org.
If you use iTunes, you can have the show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
Stay tuned for Kiteline, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system. Coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.